You know, one of the sad truths that we find from the research is that when people are struggling financially, stress goes up. And one of the results of the increase in stress is the increase in the desire to take one's own life, amongst many other outcomes. And since I know that that is something that we're still wrestling with, and especially with regards to the today's political climate, I want to bring back a conversation that I had with Dr. Karen Mason some time ago, and she shared with us, and specifically for people in roles as pastoral care, in helping those who find themselves really, really stressed, maybe even to the point where they're thinking about ending it all. Here's my conversation with Dr. Mason. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I'm glad you're with me. It's going to be an hour where we can really do a lot to help out. We're going to be talking about an issue that I know a lot of people are uncomfortable even thinking about, but we've got to think about it. We've got to talk about it so that we can come up with ways to do something about it. We're going to be talking about suicide. But not just the focus on suicide, the primary focus will be prevention. We have a great guest who's going to be talking with us about that, Dr. Karen Mason. Let me leave you with this music while I get us mic'd up, and she and I will be joining you in just a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for hanging with us. And I tell you what, we are definitely in for some time of great learning and building at the same time. We have a great guest who is going to really be sharing some information that is critical to the well-being of so many on the individual level, the family level, the community level. It has to do with, as I was sharing with you, suicide. Not the prettiest word in the world, but certainly a very, very significant event in the world. And a lot of times, if we have a better idea of what suicide is about, and then know that there is hope for those who are contemplating suicide, especially as people who have been equipped to help them do something about their suicidal thoughts, we can have a greater sense of hope, a greater sense of empowerment. And it can help us work through this matter. And here to help us with that is someone who really knows the topic well. She is Dr. Karen Mason, who is Associate Professor of Counseling and Psychology at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. Psychologist who's working in the mental health field since 1990. I'm telling you, it is great for us to be able to speak with someone who can help us look at this, and particularly from a theological standpoint. We really want to focus on the theological perspective this time because we have so many people involved in pastoral care and yet have often had the question, what do I do when I'm faced with this situation? Dr. Karen Mason, it is so good to have you with us to help answer that question. How are you doing?
Well, thanks so much, Carl. I'm doing well, and thanks so much for having me, and please call me Karen.
Okay. And it is so great to have you with us. And I'm curious if you would share with us a bit about your academic journey, a little bit about your life journey, just enough to help us understand how psychology came to be your profession of choice. And then from there, what led you to write a book, Preventing Suicide, a handbook for pastors, chaplains, and pastoral counselors about suicide?
Mm-hmm. Well, boy, that's almost a tough question, just because it was such a lifelong journey for me to get to psychology. I actually have a master's in Old Testament from seminary, and through a lot of soul searching, I realized that one of the reasons I am so interested in the Bible and interested in biblical languages is that I'm actually really interested in people. And so over a long period of soul searching, I realized that psychology might be a good direction for me. And then working as a psychologist, I've worked with quite a number of people who are suicidal. And one of the things that really hit me in that work is just that a number of these folks really do want some help to find another solution. Not all of them, but some of them do. And that really struck me. And I think that's where I started my journey trying to find out more and more about suicide prevention. And in that process, I spoke with many clergy who I realized over some time as well how many people go to clergy for help with this particular issue. And I knew that clergy didn't have a lot of resources for the ministry that they have, the very important ministry they have to suicidal people. So that was kind of the background for me leading up to finally writing this book.
And I imagine that one of the things that you discovered as you were talking with the clergy is that a lot of them realized that just plain, quote unquote, common sense or just winging it was not going to be enough to help people who were thinking about suicide.
Right, right. I would say that one of the most common themes talking to clergy, not only are they able to tell really, talk about difficult situations they've had ministering to suicidal people, but they also talk about feeling undertrained, underprepared. Many clergy have had at least one introduction to pastoral counseling class in their training, in their MDiv training, but sometimes that class covered the issue of suicide, and sometimes it didn't. And so some clergy are really left with, as you say, that all that they're left with is their common sense.
And that's just not enough. I tell you what, I take my hat off to the clergy who realize that's not enough, and they were willing to reach out to someone who could give them the tools that they need in order to help people coming to them. Do you find that people who are thinking about suicide are willing to consider the clergy quite often as someone who may be able to help them?
Sure. Religion is something that's very important in a lot of Americans' lives. We know from the research, too, that about 25% of them will go talk to clergy as opposed to seeking help from a mental health professional. And sometimes suicidal thinking or a suicide attempt is one of the reasons why they decide to make contact with clergy. So we know there's a fair number of folks who are reaching out to clergy for help.
And so that's just further evidence of what you shared with us a few minutes ago, that although there are some people who may be thinking about suicide who don't want help, there are quite a few who really do want to be helped.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And I think that's one of the myths about suicide, that if a suicidal person comes to you for help, well, there's really nothing I can do. This person is bent on this, and there's not much I can do. But the truth is, a lot of people, and this isn't the case for everybody, some people are not going to reach out for help and don't reach out for help. But some of the folks who reach out for help, they have this ambivalence. You know, a part of them wants to die, but a part of them also wonders if there is a reason to live, and if this person that they reach out to, they're wondering if they wouldn't maybe be able to help them find that reason to live.
Wow. So here we go again. The whole issue of why am I here, But for the person who's thinking about suicide, they've taken that question to a whole nother level.
Mm-hmm. Very true. I think it's a basic human fact that people want to, have a meaning and a purpose for their life. But I think people who are suicidal, that particular question gets thrown up in the air for them, and they really wonder, do they have meaning and purpose? And I think that's one of the things, for some people at least, that sort of sets them down this path towards suicidal thinking.
You know, Karen, in just in case we have some people who are thinking within themselves, well, I have heard some things about suicide, but although I realize it's serious for people who are thinking about it, and it's serious for the family members when someone does either attempt or succeeds at committing suicide, it's not something that happens that often, so I really don't need to be thinking about that. It's just not something that's prevalent enough for me to be taken any more seriously than I already do. You share some statistics with us that let us know that suicide really is more prevalent than many of us realize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, Carl. It's some people have said it's a public health problem of epidemic proportions. Suicide is actually the 10th leading cause of death in the United States, which basically means there are more deaths in the United States due to suicide than there are due to homicide or due to HIV/AIDS. It really is a serious issue that occurs in the church as well as out of the church. And especially in particular age groups, for instance, of course, these facts will change every year, but generally speaking, suicide is the second or third leading cause of death in the 10 to 24 age range, second or third leading cause of death in the 25 to 34-year-old age range. So it's, amongst young people, it can be... the issue is that there, of the number of young people that exist in the United States, it ends up being a second or third top killer. So it definitely is a very serious issue, and it plays out differently in different age groups. For instance, some of the larger numbers actually happen to be middle-aged males. Some of the higher rates, if you compare the number of people who die by suicide with the number of people in that population, some of the higher rates are older males. So when it comes to suicide attempts, some of those higher rates are among younger females. So it seems to be something that plays out a little differently across the age span, but certainly affects people across the age span.
I mean, that's almost heartbreaking to hear that even our 10-year-olds are taking their lives.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, it we talk about the fact that these statistics are just sort of impersonal, but at the same time, there are people behind all of these numbers. I mean, you're absolutely right.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest, yours and mine, Dr. Karen Mason, and I will be right back as we talk more about suicide and suicide prevention.